Thank you so much for that. That is one of my favorite songs that is sung as a special at our church. I just love it. And I think the older you get, the more you can just kind of look over your shoulder after years of living, and you see how God has followed you with His goodness and mercy. And when you first get saved, you don't see that. We don't live by experience. But after several years, you just kind of get to know the Lord and how He works. And it's amazing. That's a great testimony by Dominic, wasn't it? You know, here's a guy, paid his own way. Did you pay your own way, Dominic? Come on. Your rich parents didn't pay your way and make you go. So here he is. He heard about a missions trip, said, I'm going. He worked hard, saved his money, went, met some people there. Most of the people he did not know, and spent all that time. Guess what? It wasn't a vacation. We're not against a resort and taking it easy. But that was a work trip. His work to get there, all the flights and boats and jeep rides and the hiking and the unloading medical equipment, that was work. That's what you call the work of the ministry. And if he doesn't like that, he should never go into the ministry because it's work. It's just work. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them just for a moment to the book of James, James chapter 2. I've never spoken an entire message on this topic. Tonight will be the very first time an entire message, and I want you to see this. But James chapter 2, and of course the theme of Hebrews is faith in the Christian life, and the theme of James is works in the Christian life. And so one person says, show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. We're saved by faith, but we prove it by works. Amen. And that's how it works. Real faith works. That's how it is. And we'll explain that in just a moment. But notice down in James chapter number 2, and we're going to look at just several verses here. James 2, and let's just look down in verse 14. And he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, that means they don't have sufficient clothing, and destitute of daily food, they're starving to death, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, have a great day, God bless you, smiley face, emoji, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, talk is cheap. He's saying you have faith, but you didn't even help that person who had a need. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. He's not talking about working our way to heaven or earning heaven. He's just saying the kind of faith that's in the Bible is always a working faith. The definition for faith is simply obeying God's commands to the point you know He will reward you. Amen. That's all faith is. God always rewards and blesses faith. So when we decide to obey His command or His words, that's faith. It's showing we know He's going to reward. He said He would. And then, skip down in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He mentions it three times in this passage. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We're going to have a prayer, and I'm going to talk for a while, and we'll kind of go from there. All right, I've got my watch. I'm sorry, I went a little bit overtime today. Didn't have my watch with me, and so we should be out just right on time. Well, let's see. Any kid ready for school? You're ready for school? Excited about school? One hand. All right. Two hands. Good. I was the one who my hand was down my entire life. I never enjoyed going to school. It just made me nervous. You know, I just hated getting those spankings every day. I guess that's why. And my nose in the corner, and I think it did something to my nose. So anyway, let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the good things that happened today. Maybe I'll tell that story of the couple in the parking lot after church. Thank you for this man that was baptized today. Moved all the way here from Chile, South American country. Him and some of his buddies got saved last week. He was baptized today. He's talking to his sister on the phone, FaceTiming her. Showed me as he was talking to her. What an exciting thing. He always wanted a Bible, and one of our good men bought him a Bible today. Just amazing the things you're doing. We pray that we'd see it and appreciate it. Again, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan tonight. We ask your safety for them. Please rescue them. Whoever's trying to do something behind the scenes, help them be able to do it. Protect them from the demon-possessed terrorists that are trying to kill them there. Give the leaders, especially on location, wisdom. And then be with our preacher friends and all of our Christian friends on the Gulf Coast, especially Louisiana and Mississippi tonight. Please help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Real faith works. D.L. Moody said this, and he was one of the hardest working evangelists, a shoe salesman, before he became an evangelist. He said, the best place to pray for a harvest is behind a hoe. Amen. In other words, Moody said, yes, I believe God's going to give a harvest, but he was praying that while he was working the soil. Works don't save us, but they do reveal us. Amen. In other words, you see a need on the mission field, do something about it. You see a lost soul, do something about it. That's what faith is. Faith works. You see a discouraged saint, encourage them. Destitute widow, meet a need. Don't see a need and delegate. See a need and take care of it. Amen. I still remember we had a man in our church for years. I mean, was here 20-something years. And probably a homeowner, probably done handyman stuff. And I still remember it was time. I was walking to the pulpit, and he goes, Pastor, I said, what? He goes, the toilet is overflowing in the men's room. And I felt like saying, you want to take the Bible and preach while I unclog the door? What do you want me to do? He just wanted me to know. I felt like saying, do something about it. Don't just be a man of faith. I'll put works to action. Take that plunger and help us. Someone said, you make a living from 9 till 5. You make a success from 5 to 9. Someone says, I learned a lot of dirty four-letter words when I was a kid. And someone spoke up and said, my mama taught me some four-letter words. Work. Amen. Iron. Amen. Cook. Amen. Louisiana. Clean. J. Frank Norris pastored two of the largest churches in the world simultaneously. Detroit, Michigan. Fort Worth, Texas. Over 5,000 attenders every week. He was speaking at a preacher's conference. He said, fellas, I'm going to give you the secret to building the two biggest churches in the world. Meet me in the auditorium at this conference, 5 o'clock in the morning. So Norris walked in right at 5, and the building was filled with all these preachers. And he said, I told you I would tell you the secret to building those great big churches. Here it is. Work! And then he walked off the platform, and that was it. That was his whole lecture right there. They wanted some little shortcut. Now, we're being bombarded with some old lies packaged differently. Socialism, communism, Marxism. And for you younger generation, simply here's what they're saying. You work real hard and make a lot of money. They want to make a law that you have to distribute it to all those who did not work as hard and did not make as much money. It's equal distribution of wealth. That's how many nations have fallen to the ground. Because when you're innovative and you work long hours and you think and you lose money and then you make money and you maybe make an invention and you make millions and they give all your money away, you're not going to do that again. It kills innovation. It kills all sorts of things. Self-esteem. That's never why you say, well, why do the rich people have so much? Maybe they worked hard. Yeah, amen. Right. It's not the government's place to take their money and give to someone else that doesn't want to work, period. And we're not talking about someone's disabled. That's a whole other concept there. But you want to be careful thinking those things. We have the word work attached to many words. House, work. Home, work. Work, out, work, ethic. And all these words, it's a good word. Yes, amen. Sometimes if we're not careful as a young person, we think, oh, we got to work. It ought to be, man, we get to work. It's a Bible principle. Man was made to work. God made a beautiful garden. He says, I don't have a man to keep it or to take care of it. He made Adam and brought Adam to the garden. He was fit for the task. I believe everyone needs to find something they enjoy doing and become the best at it and then do it for a lifetime. So that way you enjoy getting up. You enjoy going to work. You enjoy your job. If you don't enjoy your job now, figure out what you like to do. Prepare for it. Get good at it and enjoy it. Someone said, if you enjoy what you do, you never have to go to work a day in your life. Amen. Abel, he kept the sheep. Cain kept the garden. Noah, he built a boat. Jacob, he led the herds. Joseph administrated for a nation. Ruth harvested the barley harvest. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says, and her hands are mentioned, I believe, five times. She was working the work of her hands. She spoke once. She worked five times as much. David, it was the sheep. Elisha, he plowed. Paul was a tent maker. Ezra built the temple. Nehemiah built the wall. Job, he was in the sheep and camel industry. Satan attacked the work of his hands. Jesus, for at least 18 years, a carpenter. And that's why I believe Jesus had the stamina after working those long hours and the hard carpentry skills. He could travel 7 days a week. He could work 12 hours a day. He could preach to thousands and sermon after sermon after sermon. He had to be energetic and in good physical shape to keep that pace for 3.5 years. Amen. Work matters. It gives esteem. When someone is good at a job, they feel good about themselves. It turns a boy into a man. We don't want play boys. We want work men. Character is revealed while we're doing work. Now, I'll say this, young people. Sometimes there's going to be a job you have to do or maybe a class you have to take in college or high school. You're not going to enjoy it. But part of character is learning to take tasks that are not enjoyable. And you just figure out how to make them enjoyable and still finish the task. Not every job you have, you're going to be shouting and hollering and dancing all the time. But you can make it enjoyable and fulfilling. You can turn the mundane into something special. Work keeps us from temptation. Work makes us a blessing to others. Work gives us money in our pocket where we can bless others and give to others. God blesses hard work and despises laziness. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider his ways and be wise. He's not sleeping. I've never seen a sleeping ant. I've snuck up on them. I've tiptoed. I've looked. I've never seen one laying on their side doing this. And they've got six legs. I mean, they can do this and fold their legs and everything. Never said, they're always working. They're always carrying things. They're always bringing food. They're always working. God says, that's what I want you to do. When it's time to work, I want you to work. And you'll be glad that you did. We hear about the busy bees, always flying, always bringing, bringing allergies to the nest and so forth. The Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. He's talking about being diligent as you work. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. There's a satisfaction in work as we complete a task. 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. What's he saying? He's saying if you don't always want to be the follower, work harder so you're the leader. That's what he's saying. Sometimes people may be appointed in a job. Sometimes it's a job skill. Cream rises to the top. What's he say in 12:24, the hand of the 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. What he's saying is, lazy people, they always want stuff. Well, I wish I had that, wish I had that. Diligent, hardworking people, work hard, work hard, work hard, and buy that. Amen. That's what he's saying. Amen. Do not look down on someone because they have some things. It could be they've worked smarter, they've worked harder, maybe they've invested wiser. We need to learn how to do those things. 14:23, in all labor there is profit. So no matter what someone does, All labor is profitable, whether you're flipping hamburgers at In-N-Out, or whether you're building a house, or you're typing a letter, or you're making phone calls, or you're driving a truck, or whatever skill you're doing, if it's honest work, thank God for that. God said it's profitable. It builds character. It's good for the community. It's good for you. It's good for God's work. God enlists hardworking people. You'll never see in Scripture where God ever found a lazy man and said, I want you. Never. You never see a lazy person turn into a diligent person. Not one time in Scripture. Amen. He found Elisha. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He called him. It was Simon while he was fishing. Throwing the net. God called him. While Saul, even though he was evil, persecuting the church, he was busy working at it. God says, I'll take you. Matthew was in best, worked for the IRS. He was collecting taxes for Rome. God says, I'll take you. Jesus was a carpenter. God says, I'll use you. Our work ethics carry over into God's work.
That's right, amen.
And that's why you'll see someone get saved who's a hard worker. They may be a cocktail waitress. They may be someone that works the dice table at some casino, but they're a hard worker. When they get saved, God can take that energy and start using it in his business. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there's profit. 21:25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. It was Thomas Edison. I love the story. They said, Mr. Edison, your watch, we don't see any hands on your watch. He said, I pulled them off. He said, no matter what time it is, it's time to work. And one other guy gave us so many inventions and so many things. He just worked and worked and worked. And God blessed him, and I'm glad that he did. In God's work, the Bible says, to the work wherein I have called them. Acts 13:2, it talks about the first two missionaries, Barnabas and Saul. Separate me, Saul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit says, to the work. He said, you go into the mission field. It's going to be work. Here you go. And Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy. He said, do the, and here's the term, work of an evangelist. To start a church, that's the work of the evangelist. It's work. It's work to knock doors. It's work to invite people. It's work to pass out flyers. It's work to build a building. It's work to get sermons read. It's work. Amen. God doesn't need any lazy people in his ministry. He wants hardworking people. That's what he deserves. The Bible says, in Nehemiah, it says, in Ezra 4:24, Satan always attacks the work, then ceased the work. Nehemiah 2:18, we are doing this good work. Nehemiah said, chapter 3, verse 5, I am doing a great work. It says, the nobles put not their neck to the work. The big shots didn't want to work. 4:6, the people had a mind to work. I've often told people, I believe our church, out of all the churches I've been in, is the hardest working church I've ever been in my life. When it comes to a conference, when it comes to a men's conference, a ladies' conference, big days and bus routes and soul winning, I've never been around a church where the people worked so hard and enjoyed it. God loves that. Then we think of Jesus' life. At age 12, he's in the temple. He says, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That was age 12. He was already starting to learn how to be a carpenter. Later on in his ministry, he said to his father, I have finished the work. Another time he said, I must work the works while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Work was a big thing to him. God is a hard worker. Amen. Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, he who hath begun a good work in you, he'll finish that thing. So the moment we got saved, God started working in us, and he said, I won't finish till you get to heaven.
Amen, preacher.
God's a worker. When we work hard, we're like him.
Amen. Amen.
So what is faith? Faith is believing God will reward your labor.
Yes, sir,
whether it's knocking doors soul winning, or whether it's knocking doors for a bus route, or it's inviting friends, or it's preparing a lesson for a children's class, or it's changing diapers in the nursery, whatever it is. God says, I'll bless that work.
That's good.
When we moved here 35 years ago, we didn't have any kind of soul winning. Brother Steve wanted to. I said, no, we don't need that. And but it wasn't anything like that. There's no visitation. The tracks were old. I mean, it was just not a whole lot going on. So partner or no partner, I was out 34 hours a week. Because I just knew you cannot scatter that much seed and something good not happen. With a couple here today, I don't know if you saw them. In fact, I didn't even see them in the auditorium. After I baptized, I ran out to the parking lot, and I saw this couple. I thought it was someone that comes, and I got closer. It wasn't. It was two visitors. And I said, you're here with relatives, aren't you? No, we're not. I said, you've been here before. She said, years ago. I'm 30 now. I said, I'm sorry. I don't even know your name. Well, someone used to go to juvenile hall and preached. And I had a friend at juvenile hall, and they invited me, and I got saved when I was a teenager and got baptized. I looked at him, and she didn't know the name. She just knew someone was faithful on a Sunday afternoon, came out and spoke to those teens. And she got saved here. And then her friend that was with her, he says, this is all new to me. He said, I've never been to anything like this. And but here's my number. I'd love to talk to you. Let's get together this week. What happened? Someone was working.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
There's a work for all to do.
Amen.
Little as much when God is in it.
Right.
Work for the night is coming. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, the song says.
Amen.
There's a lot of work to do. We started that church in Oakland. People thought I was insane when I announced it. I still remember Brother Butch Miller sitting right there. And he had had a heart for Oakland and some of those rough areas. And I'd driven past Oakland for about, 15 years, teaching at the college and looking, not one independent Baptist soul-winning church in the city limits. Not one. 500,000 people. Not one church. I remember as I was reading my Bible, one day I wrote in Oakland. We've got to start a church in Oakland. How are we going to do it? Where are we going to get a pastor? I said, I got a lot of energy. I'll do both for a while. I just knew in about 6 weeks, there'd be some preacher boy like Dominic or somebody want to be the pastor of that church. I just knew they'd beg to take over a church in bullet-filled Oakland. I mean, where we were meeting, you could drive by houses. There were gunfire. There were bullets in the garage doors. Someone had told me of a helicopter that was shining a spotlight one night when they lived in Oakland. And they said, come out, come out. We spot you. We see you. Come out. A citizen pointed a high power gun, shot the helicopter out of the air. That was the neighborhood we were starting the church at. I said, wow, how you like that? Another person had been in a gunfight, was wounded with bullets. They rushed him to the emergency room in Oakland. And as they started to do surgery, someone kicked the door in and shot him on the table.
Whoa.
On the table of the emergency room. I said, wow. Who wouldn't want a pastor in Oakland? Who wouldn't want to raise their little kids in Oakland? And I remember we announced it to the church. God has called us to start a church in Oakland. How are we going to do it? And we raised money for tracks, and we sent out 5,000 flyers, and we began knocking doors, and we knocked doors on Saturday. Not near the crowd we wished for, but there was some precious people there waiting for us.
Amen.
And we had the little portable nursery. We rented the United Methodist Church. I still remember. It was a gay United Methodist Church, rainbow flag, pastored by a woman and her wife.
Yep.
Picture right there, rainbow flag. They said, don't move our flag. This is who we are. We said, for $50 a week, we're just glad to rent your building. What a deal. We baptized that very first Sunday in Lake Merritt, right across the street. We walked into Lake Merritt. Everything stopped. Drug deals stopped. Canoes stopped. Boating stopped. Joggers stopped. What are they doing in the lake? And our first convert was baptized. That was work. That was a lot of work. Church went in here, we'll jump in the car. Greg Garcia, Brother Berto's brother, used to be like a mafia car driver. No, I'm just kidding. But we'd take off and we'd get there, make a few visits, pick some people up, preach 2 hours, come all the way back. It was time for church here. I don't even know what I preached on for about a year and a half here. I have no idea. Takes work.
Amen.
In the last 35 years, we tried to do a few things. You can't find a door, I don't think, in Fairfield, Vallejo, Yountville, Calistoga, St. Helena, Napa, Sonoma, that I've not been to. So here's that New Testament worn out. Here's the New Testament worn out. Here's the New Testament worn out. Here's the New Testament. Man, I'm going to get that one back. Here's the New Testament worn out. Here's the New Testament not too bad. Here's the... We ought to be wearing out some testaments.
Amen.
We ought to be wearing out some other things. Here's the soul winning shoes.
Amen.
You guys that are called to preach, put some shoe leather in your church.
Yes.
You're going to start a church. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to do something. Wear your shoes out.
That's
them right there. You say, why'd you save these for my funeral? If I ever die, I'm putting the shoes out. How beautiful are the feet of them that spread the gospel. There it is. Wear them out.
Yes.
Wearing out my shoes, telling God's good news, ringing doorbells for my Lord.
Amen.
Wear out the shoes.
Amen.
Wear out the shoes.
Amen.
Billy Sunday said, most preachers need their easy chair reupholstered more than they need their shoes resoled.
Come on, preacher.
You want to wear some shoes out. You want to hit
Amen.
Some doors. You want to be walking
Amen.
The street.
Amen.
Turn the TV set off. Get out
Amen.
And spread the gospel.
Amen.
During the last 35 years, we've tried to work. We've tried to be a little bit busy. We've tried to build buildings. I didn't build all the buildings. I was a part of all of them.
Right.
I still remember us putting in modulars. I still remember us putting in those houses, digging trenches. Brother Steve, Brother Schulte, trenches, sewer ditches, pipes. I still remember the first night I came in, I was black from head to toe, dirt, mud. My wife got up, oh, this is great. Look how messy the pastor looks. She's taking pictures. And sometimes it's going to be like that.
Amen.
A contractor quit. He said, I've lost money on this job. Here's your little tool belt. You be the contractor. You finish the building. So now I've got the belt on. How do we show some progress before Sunday? I'm trying to work on sermons. I'm trying to counsel and pastor. Now I'm the foreman trying to finish this two-story building. It just takes work.
Amen. Amen.
Takes work to write the facets of Christ. Takes work to write called to preach. And that's when I was in Louisiana. Takes work to write that newest book.
Yes.
If they can make it, you can too. The encouragement book took a little work. This is the hardback copy of the One Steps. They're in Hungarian. They're in the Philippines. They're now in Arabic. They've been translated. Bradley Kubik has now translated some of these on the missions field. By the way, that took him work. Took work to write the basic training. Took work a year and a half to work on the cartoon. Took a little time to make that Life is Worth Living suicide book. Took work to work on the child rearing books. My dad's biography. Just Friends. Winning with Your Kids. Look what God did for me. Oh, and called to preach again. And the New Testament, that was the hardest thing for me to write the Bible. It was just so hard. But putting those soul-winning notes in the back of there, tassels worth the hassle. You know, and there was a team of people that typed and edited and worked, but that's what I did on airplanes. That's what I did in airports. I didn't goof off. I wasn't playing games on the phone. I'm not saying that's sinful. I was trying to put something out before
Amen.
The Lord comes back. The counseling book, it took work to get that out. Took work to get the soul winning book out. The marriage couples get away a book. Ideas for churches, second encouragement book, third encouragement book. Influence, took some work to get that done. Called Her Crazy, the youth manual. Through the Fires, the Napa Fire book. The friendship book, took a while. The family devotions, Brother Steve, before he got saved, look at that. The appearance book, friendship book, the video on clothing, the one-step disc, the old called her crazy, the funeral book. I'm just saying, God looks at us and says, I'm gifting you. I'm going to make you good at something. Now get busy.
Amen.
Get busy.
Amen.
Who was it?
Amen.
Dr. Sisk.
Yep.
He spoke here, the missions director, missionary to Japan. I think we mentioned him. He looks a little bit like Popeye. I'm not insulting him, but that's kind of who he looks like. He had just retired. He was in his mid-70s. He started attending Brother Chapel's church. Brother Chapel said, Brother Sisk, what are you going to do for like your fourth quarter? He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm retired, man. I've worked in missions my whole life. I'm a golf. Take it easy. He said, really? He said, you finally have something to say to the next generation. Why don't you be the missions director and teach our kids at our college? Why don't you invest your fourth quarter in eternity?
Amen.
You're finally entering your fourth quarter. So what I'm trying to say is that, hey, young people, we need a work ethic. Yes. We need hard workers. Amen. We need workers in this church.
Amen.
The harvest truly is plenteous. The labors are few. Our labors have gotten a little bit older. Our labors have gotten a little gray hair. We need some young people and young adults to rise up and say, I'll captain a bus. I'll drive a bus. I can work on a bus. I can teach a class. I'll be out every Saturday soul winning. Hey, don't have to motivate me, Pastor. Give me a neighborhood. I'll hit the whole thing. I don't need a partner. I don't need anybody holding my hand. Just give me something to do. Revival is always getting back to the work God has commanded, that soul winning, and called you to do. We're all commanded to be personal soul winners. We ought to be soul winning everywhere we go, but if it's important, we ought to schedule it. Because if you don't schedule it, you're going to be so busy doing the not quite so important things and never win a soul. We're all good talkers. I see you after church. Everyone's a good talker. Yes, you're good. We all have the gift of gab. But let me ask you, when is the last time you opened your New Testament and showed someone the gospel? Well, Pastor, I don't need teaching. I'm good. I know how to do it. But when's the last time you did it?
Amen.
You got to wade through a lot of people. Brother Marty and I were visiting a real safe neighborhood called The Crest. It's named after a toothpaste or something, Crest. We were just hitting a couple streets in the daytime. We don't know what really happened. We gave out a lot of cards. We didn't see anybody saved yesterday. We gave out a lot of gospels. We don't know. God bless his effort.
Amen.
So how do you do it? Quickly, here's the points. I'll try to give them to you in 5 minutes. Heartily. Number one, heartily. The Bible says we're to labor or work heartily. Put your heart into it. We had a staff member years ago, no longer here. But I said, I want you to paint the curb red. And I could tell they didn't want to do it. So they got the little paintbrush and did this. I mean, sat on the curb, painted a little bit.
Oh, no.
I thought, is this like a Three Stooges movie? And they painted a little bit. And then they scooted over and they painted a little bit. I said, really? Really? The heart wasn't in it because it wasn't the job that they wanted to do that day. There's a book written by the founder of Starbucks. What's his name?
Howard Schultz.
Was it?
Howard Schultz.
What do you call him?
Howie.
Howie? Oh, yeah. Man, y'all are real tight, aren't you? Is he the guy that ate at y'all's house this week?
Yeah.
You're lying. Hey, when you got that concussion, it really hits you hard, doesn't it? But he's got a book, How Starbucks Was Started. Guess what it's called? Pour your heart into it.
Whoa.
He said, when we founded Starbucks, we didn't want it just to be selling coffee. We wanted it to be an experience. We worked on the music that would be playing. We worked on the atmosphere. We worked on the coffees. We flew around the world to get the best coffee beans. We worked at what we would sell. We trained the workers. What was he saying? Hey, we want every employee to pour their heart into it. So whatever job you have in the church or secular or around the house, let me encourage you, do it heartily.
Amen.
Put your heart into it.
Amen.
I got my first job at McDonald's, my first punch job with the clock. And I remember I was trying to make a good impression and I squirted the mustard and the ketchup. So we had this little handle, had this little cone and that was it. And I remember I was trying to work hard and clean things, and several people say, hey, slow down. You're making us look bad. See, it wasn't quite a government job yet, but you're making us look bad. You want to do it heartily. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Number two, do it as to the Lord. That'll always make a job exciting. Whether you're cleaning the house, you're changing diapers, you're working on the car, you're getting paid, you're not getting paid, whatever it is, if you do it as to the Lord, it'll be exciting. It was a hot day. Someone was working on a bus years ago. Just saw their feet sticking out. I just walked by. It was a bus work day. I said, hey, thanks for working on the buses. And the voice wasn't trying to be smart aleck. He said, I ain't doing it for you. I like the heart. I'm doing it for him. That's why I'm in the hot sun, busting my knuckles, getting burned, getting grease on me, because I'm doing it for him. Amen. Yeah, I can do any job if it's for him. Amen. Number three, quickly. Teach the kids how to work. Amen. The Bible says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be true and whether it be right. So God assumes children are learning to work. When they're little, hey, pick up your toys before you go to bed. See, you shouldn't have to do everything for them. After a while, pick up your bed. No. Pick up your bed. Pick up your toys. Teach them to work. Say, laziness comes from childhood. Get those kids working. Teach them some work ethic. Pick up your toys. Clean your plate. Put your plate over. Put your plate in the dishwasher or put it on here. You know, if we're not careful, we think our kids are supposed to be served till they're about 21. And we're the maids at the house. You know, after a while, it needs to be, hey, pick up your own stuff. Hey, put your own dishes in there. Hey, you're 7. Do your own laundry. Yeah. Here's the button to do your own. You remember some of the toys when we were growing up? It'd be like a toy lawnmower, and it had like bubbles. And it was fun.
Yeah.
What you do that for a while, then you switch with the real lawnmower. Oh, look, an easy bake oven. Well, let her enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
An easy bake iron. Let her do the ironing. Easy bake iron, I don't know. Quickly, number next, don't punish with work.
Amen.
You've been bad. You have to pull weeds. Hey, it ought to be, you've been good. You get to mow the 1 acre backyard. Oh, it's going to be so cool. Number next, learn to get up early.
Yes,
and again, it depends on your schedule. I understand. I mean, if you're working graveyards, I just got in at 3 this morning. Get up at 5. Next, include finish and clean up and stay in late if you have to. You know who I learned that from? Brother Schulte. My dad wasn't home to teach a lot of work. I was raised in the city. City slickers don't know how to work if they're not taught.
Right.
Our parents, some of the old timers, you milked the cows, you slaughtered the pig, you hayed the hay or whatever you do. Hey, you helped on the farm. Hey, I was raised in the city. Our whole lot for our whole house, backyard, big as this platform. We didn't have cows to milk. We didn't have chicken. We didn't have all that. So you're going to have to dream up stuff. We're going to let you paint the house. We're going to let you blow the leaves off the roof. We're going to have you pull the weeds around here. You're going to have to come up with some stuff, or we're going to have some soft kids that don't know how to work.
Amen.
You got a shop. You have a garage. You can teach them tools. You can teach them those things. What else? Quickly. Let me back up here for a second. Brother Cletus, he's in heaven now. Cletus Bartlett. I visited Brother Cletus at a low time in his life. He came to the church. He said, I'm here. Give me something to do. He'd been raised real rough. He'd been a bartender much of his life. Got away from the Lord. Got right. But he was just a man's man, no nonsense. The harder the sermon, the more he loved it. If I preached the hardest sermon in my whole life, I'd get a letter from Brother Cletus. That's the way everybody used to preach. Keep it up. That was just him. He said, give me something to do. I said, you want to mow the lawn? And we had more yard and less parking lot at that time. He said, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll buy my own lawnmower, and I'll pay for the fuel, and don't let anybody touch my stuff.
Right.
I've seen people around here. They leave tools out. They leave stuff out. They don't care. Okay, Brother Cletus.
It's true.
One day he had an accident, cut his arm, all these stitches. He was like this in a sling. He said, I just need someone to pull the string for me.
Right.
I said, do what? He said, I told you I'd mow the lawn every Saturday. I just need someone to pull the string. I can't pull the string this time. I've seen it pouring down rain. Brother Cletus had on that yellow rain suit, pushing that lawnmower. It got so deep, you couldn't even see him anymore. But I saw the hat go this way. And then I saw the hat go, I'm just kidding. That's the work ethic America used to have. We didn't have to hold his hand. I didn't have to pat him on the back. Didn't have to write him a thank you letter three times a week. Didn't have to take him out for his birthday. And say, hey, give me something to do. I'll see you in heaven. That's kind of Cletus. How do we work the way we ought to? Work with God. 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible says, we are laborers together with him. Talk to him. Lord, it's you and me. We're heading to work. Here we go. I need you today. Next, be creative. How many of you remember when we used to have the toll booth where you had to put the money in the people's hands? You remember that Carquinez Bridge or wherever it was? I still remember our kids were young, and I don't know who said it, babe. But we were coming through it. We're going to have to pay the person. And they had this little booth. You know, it's kind of dangerous. You don't step out or you get run over. And we saw this lady. She had a jam box or some type of a music item. You could hear that music just blaring. But she was dancing. I can't even do it. But she was dancing. It was some like cage dancer in that little cage. She was spinning around and took the money. And it was wild. And one of our little kids said, Laylee, spin round. Laylee, spin round. But she had taken a boring job, $3, $3, $3. She was dancing, exercising, losing weight, having a good time, taking the money, and everyone was noticing her. And for years we heard, Laylee, spin round. Laylee, spin round. Be creative. Quickly. Include manual labor for your kids. Don't let it be just all the easy stuff. Good friend of mine, a pastor, hired someone at his church. They came from the Silicon Valley, had been raised there, Santa Clara area. And he said, okay, I need you to mow the lawns here at the church today. The guy kind of looked at him with this deer in the headlight kind of look. And he said, you know, like, here's the lawnmower, there's the gas, like, mow the lawn. And he kind of looked, he said, don't tell me. You're 25, you've never mowed a lawn. That's right. He said, what did you guys do in Santa Clara when your lawn grew? He said, we called somebody. We got on the phone. Someone missed a little teaching there somewhere. Some of you are saying, Pastor, what's wrong with calling someone? Look, you're missing the whole point. Get Dominic to explain it to you. He will. Quickly, reward hard work with rest and play. And that's not just your kids, but that's also yourself. What kind of example do we have? Let me see. 6 days the Lord labored and he rested on the seventh day. Now, God wasn't tired, so, oh, I need a day off. No, it wasn't like that. He did something different. It's not always the rest that refreshes you. It's doing something different that refreshes you. Get this, and I love it. Vince Lombardi's daddy had tattoos. Vince Lombardi was the Green Bay Packers coach. His daddy had tattoos on his knuckles. Work, play. Work, play. The balance. When you work, you got a right to play. When you don't work, you don't have a right to play. It's a reward. Do something different. Do something fun. Do something you enjoy. Have a hobby and so forth. Reward yourself with play. Quickly. Not on Sundays. That first job at McDonald's, I tried to work hard. 6 months later, they said, we'd like you to be a manager. And I said, what's that mean? They said, more pay. I said, what else does that mean? He said, Sundays. I said, I'll just stay a worker. I'll just stay a worker. You set that goal, and you can find a job where you're working other days. And I know there's shift work from time to time, and that's an exception. Let's keep going here. Not Sundays, quickly. Do what you're told. If it's a secular job, do what you're told. Here's another one that goes with it. Do it before you're told. Next, don't have to be reminded. Oh, I forgot. You don't want to be that type of employee. You know, there's something they have out now. It just came out. It's called ink pens. And they started something out. It's called paper. You can write that down. Next, you can talk to a phone. You can type it in things. You want to be that employer or employee that sees something and gets it done. The boss says, man, I can't believe you. Well, I knew you wanted that done. That's what you want quickly here. It helps you sleep. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Quickly, God notices. He said about the woman, she hath wrought a good work on me. So whatever labor you do, secular, Christian, by the way, there's no secular or Christian. If you're doing it as to the Lord, it's all Christian. Amen. One brother, Steve, used to work at the dance club. No, Mare Island. When he used to work there, people would say, where do you work? He'd say, I work for the Lord. But I go to Mare Island 5 days a week to make money for my bills. So the Lord saw that, and he sees you. And last, I'm done with this. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, for ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're going to be rewarded for all the labor you've done as unto him. All the reward will come. Much here, all of it up there. He says, abounding. Always be doing something for the Lord. Something for the Lord. There's so much to do and not enough days to do it. Heavenly Father, we're asking your blessings today.